Morning show at East Coast FM. We're now joined in studio by Tarsila Cruz, who's a children's author and illustrator as well, and all to do with parenthood. The road to parenthood or of parenthood rarely runs in a straight line, and sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement. So is the premise, I think, of the book. And Tarsila, nice to talk to you. Thanks for coming out to us.
Hi, Declan. Thank you so much for having me.
You've a beautiful little book here, and you do the illustrations as well, do you?
Yes. The illustrations are my primary medium of communication. So I come from the illustration background. I've illustrated a few children's books, and this time I'm sort of debuting as an author.
Right. Little Love Lessons.
Yes.
Right. You're experienced in this field, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So the book is basically about my own journey into motherhood and parenthood. And I went through a good bit of trouble when I became a mother. So that's kind of what led into the creation of this particular book.
Right. So it wasn't a surprise, though, was it, that you became a mother?
No. I mean,
what went with it was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah. So actually, the longing of being a parent was something that's been very strong in my life. So for as far as I can remember, I would love to have been a mum. And when I did, unfortunately, I kind of hated it. It was really, really hard. So childbirth was very difficult. And because I am originally from Brazil and I've been living in Ireland for a very long time, we don't have any family around. So it'd be my husband and myself. And those first moments of motherhood and parenting were really, really difficult. And what I didn't know then is that I had postnatal depression.
Right. I was going to come to that and see, was it that or was it separation from your family and the mothership in Brazil? It was internal in the postnatal, what was going on in your head?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So the postnatal depression was probably everything culminated into leading to the postnatal depression. So having the traumatic birth and being away from family, all that contributed to it. But in fact, I was going through something much, much darker. So in those first few months and up to a year, it was very, very difficult being a parent. Mm-hmm. And I really had a hard time, very, very dark thoughts. It was very difficult waking up. And, you know, when you have a newborn, you'd be waking up several times during the night. And all those things just piled up. It felt very heavy. I didn't feel a connection to my son, which was very, very difficult. Yeah. I felt extremely guilty for not being able to connect, because
At other mothers and hearing their stories, and at the bundle of joy. I know there's difficulties, but yeah.
Exactly.
And you're saying, how come I'm not in that same space?
I saw a lot of the other moms talking about it and being like, oh, it's the best thing that's ever happened. And I felt like they were all lying to me. I actually believed that people absolutely dreaded and hated it. I truly believed that, and that everyone was lying, that parenthood and motherhood was joyful. And I'm actually glad to report now that that's actually true, that it is quite joyful. But at the moment, I didn't see it. It was very, very difficult. So that led me to a big spiral. And when my son was about a year old, we took him to a GP just for a regular checkup. And the GP unexpectedly just like touched my arm and said to me, how are you doing? And that's when I started bawling and crying and saying, I hate everything about it. I hate being a mom. I hate how hard it is. And he looked at me and said, I think you should see somebody. So I think that inside I knew, because I had really dark thoughts during that year.
What does that mean?
Well, it's quite difficult to say, because I felt like my son deserved a better life without me, that I was not a good enough mom. He deserved better. So I contemplated suicide a few times, and I didn't follow through with it. But
pleased about that. Yeah,
yeah, I'm pleased about that.
But it was to extricate yourself out of the situation for the benefit of your son. That's how you were rationalizing it.
Yeah, look, the way that I saw it is that I was such an awful parent, and mind you, I had no experience, because I just became a mother. But in my head, I was such an awful parent for not loving him, for not connecting with him, that I was completely sure that he would be better off if I wasn't in his life. And it wasn't for me, it was for him. So that was very difficult. But because I thought, well, good moms are not supposed to just run away or, you know, or kill themselves. So maybe I'll try that. And maybe if I faked long enough, I would be a good mom too. And obviously that didn't work in that sense, but it kept me around to the point that I managed to go and see a therapist. And that was quite, that's kind of what helped really.
The difference, you say, well, this was leading along postnatal depression, which isn't terminal and hormonal or attitudinal and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, there were the practical things of coping with a newborn, the sleep, not getting enough of it, the family being in a different country. So what was the relationship between the two? You said that maybe they were an influence, the fact that you couldn't have your family around you. But I'm curious about what goes on internally, you know, when you're saying dark and the what brings on the thoughts, or are you always sad and oscillating between sad and happy, or
you wouldn't feel sad. It's not about sadness, because you see, depression is a tricky thing. Sometimes you feel like you can't get out of bed, that's how hard it is. But sometimes you just want to get along. You just want the day to be over. You just want things to happen and kind of thread life. You sort of go through motions, and it's not like a particular thing triggers it. It's more you feel empty of meaning, void of any connection to people or the things you like. You stop doing the things you like, and you don't realize you're doing it. And that's the thing. You sort of just feel a lack of purpose in everything you do, and you just kind of go, what's the point?
Yeah. And did you have support?
I didn't really talk about it. And I think that's the issue. I think that people should really open up if they're feeling that way and maybe seek help. Because I think that when my GP held my shoulder and asked me how I was doing, that was a lifeline. I really needed to go
see
somebody.
There are these sort of mother and baby groups and things like that.
Yeah, I did attend to a few mom and baby groups, and it was joyful to see. There weren't just empty times. There were times that were joyous, and there were moments that were fun and exchanging experience with other moms that were going through those first months and first, you know, years of being a mom. But overall, I felt a disconnect between their experience and my experience. And even I attended a conference or an event that had things about postnatal depression, but sometimes they would approach it in a way that it was so drastic. It sounded like, oh, but if maybe if I'm there, I'm a bit crazy, and I don't want to be crazy. So, and it's not about being crazy, because you're not. You're just going through a really, really hard time, and you need help.
Yeah, and it was the GP, the crying, and then somebody else, a therapist. So what could a therapist say to you? Always intrigued. If it's not too confidential, you sit down with the therapist and they don't say, now, come on, all that sort of stuff. Do they examine the symptoms and what's in your mind?
No, so with different therapists have different approaches in how they deal with whoever comes to them. So this particular therapist that I went to, and I find her to be a wonderful therapist, she really let me open up about my feelings without judgment. So it was really me talking more about of how I was feeling, what I was going through, what the challenges that I faced. And quite often she would pose those questions or reframe what I was saying, which always invited me to kind of reflect upon what I was thinking, and perhaps reevaluating if those things that I was thinking, if they were really true or not, or if I could see them in a different light.
And were you expressing them for the first time with the therapist? You could feel them, but you were expressing them maybe verbally to the
therapist. Yeah, and this particular therapist, I was talking to her and sharing, because there is no bias in that relationship. The person that you don't know, they don't know anything about you. So you are very welcome to share. The way I felt is I was very welcome to share the darkest thoughts that I had, because I knew that people would say, would be dismissive of those feelings, or would not, you know, just say, ah, oh, don't be silly. You're a good mom, you know, and I truly felt like I wasn't, or things that would be like, you know, I feel like he's better off without me. My son is better off without me. And she would validate that I would feel those feelings. And that was very important for me.
Right. Which brings us to the book. And you're out the other side. And you've written this lovely book, Little Love Lessons. Describe it to us.
So Little Love Lessons came from actually going to therapy. And one of the resources that my therapist suggested I do, now, this is months of work in therapy, so it's not overnight that it happened. But one of the things that she suggested was to write gratitude moments. So keep a gratitude journal about the joyful moments that I had with my son. And being an illustrator, someone that draws, I actually thought, well, I'm not going to write about it. I'm going to draw about it. And every time that I went to therapy, I'd go to a nearby cafe, I'll sit down or order a cappuccino, bring a sketchbook, and I'll try to draw something that happened that week or that day that was somewhat joyful or meaningful in a connection with him. So maybe playing a little bit with him, or you know, doing something unexpected that kind of brought us joy. And I started to draw those things. And you know, at first it was very, very difficult to find moments like that, because I still struggled with my own inner turmoil with not connecting with him. But as time progressed and I did more work in therapy, more of those moments started to pop. And I realized that actually my son was teaching me how to have a great relationship with him. And that's how I create those little love lessons.
Right, and the write-ups as well in there. All you need is a hug and give experiences around the world of what people do in different cultures, but it's all this closeness, I suppose, of body and feeling, you know, that connection. Finding joy in simple things. There's one different yet the same. There was Let Music Fill Your Soul.
Yes.
All the good things in life there to be read. You know, it's probably too early to ask what your son thinks of this yet, is it?
Well, my son, he's actually 8 and a half.
Is he 8? Yeah.
Yes, he's 8.
So he can understand it all there.
Oh, he can to a point. I told him that the book is about him, but since I do illustrate books, it doesn't think much of it. It's like, oh yeah, it's just another book. I think that we're probably going to have heart-to-heart conversations as he grows. But this is definitely inspired by the gifts that he has given me in showing that life can be appreciated exactly as it is. So when we talk about like physical connection, and it could be, you know, I know that every parent or every grown-up relates to their child, because it's not always a parent that might have a small child around. It could be a grandparent, a carer, a babysitter, or another relative or somebody close to them that is meaningful to them. And you know, physical touch can be expressed in so many ways. I am such a hugger. My child is not. So we have different ways of connecting. Sometimes we do hug. Sometimes we have a special handshake that we do. So in the book, that's kind of what I propose. So I share how physical connection of some kind is important to create moments of joy together. And, you know, it could be just sitting close by, and maybe you're reading a book, and maybe they're drawing or you're drawing together, but just being physically together, that could be such a special moment. So when I say all you need is hug, it's probably coming from my side.
Well, it's a beautiful book, and the thoughts are there to be read, which are lovely as well. Not to be just read quickly, but to be absorbed as you read them. It is Little Love Lessons, Reflections on Life and Love for You and Your Child. and it is beautifully illustrated and written by Tarsila Cruz. Thanks very much indeed,
Tarsila. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out. Thank you.